Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, we are joined by two of the actors in the new True Colors production, Exit Strategy. Welcome, Ree.
Hello.
And welcome, Tracy Bonner.
Hello, how are you?
Now, this play is one of those very timely subject matters. And I wonder, as actors, were you all drawn to that subject matter when you considered being a part of this production?
I'm going to have to say yes. When I was in middle school through high school, I was at a rec center. And at this rec center, we did performances. We had classes there as well. And the city came in and kind of took that away from us. And me as a young student, I felt like I didn't know what to do. I felt lost, honestly, because that was part of my community that was taken away from me. And I will never get that back now.
And Tracy, how do you feel about that?
Well, it's two things. I'm an educator, so of course I was drawn to the subject matter. And I lived in Chicago around the same time that these schools were shutting down. So I got to see the effects on the kids in the community. And so when you get an opportunity to do a play like this, it's kind of hard to say no to. I think the great thing about just doing theater in general, you get to see people that you don't normally get to run into. Mm-hmm. Theater just really provides a great place for artists to just get together, come and create. So I think that's what really draws me to theater, period. So when this opportunity came about, I jumped on it, went to school with the playwright at the theater school at DePaul University in Chicago. So, I mean, it just was easy for me to say yes.
And while this play speaks to what happened in Chicago, we know that this is actually happening all over the United States. Mm-hmm. Schools are being shut down for low performance, low test scores, whatever. So as an educator, Tracy, what was it like seeing your students lose that community? And as Ree said, even a rec center that taught class, when those leave, it kind of takes the heart out. Mm-hmm. What was it like seeing your students deal with that challenge?
It was scary. In Chicago, they not only lose these schools, they lose family. They not only lose family, but they lose a sense of hope. And so it was hard for me to watch a lot of these families get really scared because they don't know what is going to happen. In Chicago, in particular, it's a large gang community. So these schools that were shutting down were requiring kids that were coming from rival gang areas. They weren't necessarily involved in gang activity, but these rival gang areas, and they were having to travel into another gang area. And so parents were afraid for their children's lives. In Chicago, it's different. You don't necessarily see yellow buses, you know. They take the CTA, you know, they take the public transportation by themselves because their parents, their mothers and fathers have to get up really early and go to work. So you're seeing babies having to raise themselves and figure out how to navigate mm-hmm. through such a scary, scary city.
Mm-hmm. And Ree, as a student, as a young performer, what is it like when you lose that kind of community that schools and recreational centers actually bring to neighborhoods?
Like Tracy said, fear. I, like, being a young actor and going to the rec center and performing, I was like, okay, there's nowhere else for me, you know, to perform or to hone my craft and learn. I know, I remember when it was the rec center was taken away from us. I just remember sitting in my room, like rethinking, okay, what else should I do with my life? I don't know. All I know is performance. And I was like, okay, should I go into another another route? Should I, like, I said, just lost. I was like, okay, you got everyone saying, okay, we have to stay in school, we have to stay in rec centers, yada yada yada, but that's being taken away from us. So what do you want us to do?
Ree, your voice sounds a little emotional even now talking about it.
Because I drive by the rec center almost every day to church, and I'm like, okay, that used to be ours. That used to be a community, a family, and now we're all spread out throughout the city. We hardly meet, and now, like, doing big shows like this, I get to reach out, and then we all can come back together as a community, and with this play's message, it could, I see it inspiring the people there to keep fighting, find ways to keep up with the maintenance on whatever is yours and stuff like that. So I forgot what we were talking about.
You lose a sense of ownership. You lose a sense of pride in your community when your schools or rec centers shut down libraries and things, community centers. You lose that sense of ownership. And when they don't put another option in place, you then become hopeless.
And now you all are talking about community and ownership, and the theater is a place where you can play out these kinds of ideals. An exit strategy, from what I've read, is a strong play about what the actual participants are going through when they're shutting down their school. So it's not, you know, just kind of this blind shutting down. They're actually closing the school. So as performers, what was it like to kind of come together to tell the story really of loss? What was that like as a community of performers?
Well, as actors, we love to collaborate and share each other's experiences. So we got to, you know, really talk about some of our experiences of loss. I think a great thing that happened the other day, our director, John Dillon, was talking about how different we are in real life and to our characters. And so it is so much fun to be able to come in and collaborate with your fellow artists and bring about the world, bring about the world of this play. I don't know. Do you have anything to kind of add?
What was the question again?
The community. What was it like as performers to actually tell this story of loss? It's not a story of celebration, so to speak.
It allowed me to be more open. I was talking about experiences that I thought I would never speak to anyone about. And being with this cast, for me, it's like a little safe haven. I can slowly reveal, and they can give me advice. Like Tracy, she gives me so much advice. When I get lost or I don't know what to, I just go straight to Tracy, and she gives me her side of the story. Like, hey, Wilry, you could do this from the way I see it, and she helps me guide my way. So yeah, it's almost like therapy.
Yeah. This requires you to be vulnerable in a lot of different ways.
Tracy, what do you want the audience to take from this performance?
I want the audience to walk away from the theater with a better understanding about the importance of public schools, whether they're struggling or not. The communities really depend on these institutions. I want the audience to walk away with a sense of hope that these schools can be saved, but it takes the entire community to come together, because there's power in numbers. So if our community can walk away from the theater saying, you know what, I want to volunteer a little more in my community or at my schools. I want to get my church more involved in our educational system because, you know, it's happening now with the changeover of Secretary of Education, who is not a true champion of public schools and public funding. So we now have to walk away from this play, understanding that community is key in keeping these institutions a part of the vital heartbeat of the community.
So it really seems to me that this answers that age-old question, is art reflecting the world or is the world reflecting art? Because we find ourselves in this situation. You know, 44 public schools in Metro Atlanta are targeted right now as low-performing schools. Mm-hmm. So how does art, you know, kind of catch up with us and continue to portray exactly what we're facing?
I think what's great about this play is that you're going to see yourself in at least one or two of the other characters, and you're going to walk away saying, wow, you know, I didn't realize I might not be an educator, but oh my gosh, I didn't realize how much that sounds like me, or that sounds like a situation I've been involved in. And I think that's the great thing about theater. You know, it really, really has you more engaged for me. That's why I'm more drawn to doing theater, because I get more engaged, I get more involved. And I think that's what audiences are going to experience.
I think theater is the only place where you kind of take these tragic situations and they become comedy.
Yeah. So you're going to laugh. Oh. You're going to laugh at these characters and some of these situations, because you're going to recognize yourself in them. So
thank you, Tracy.
Thank you,
Ree, for coming and sharing with us.
Thank you for having us. And I just wanted to say, as much as this material is serious matter, it is a comedy.
Yes.
So you will walk away laughing. So I want to remind everybody, I know we're kind of somber right now, but it is a comedy.
Yes.
You have some actors doing some crazy stuff, and it's fun. Too. So, yeah.
I love it. Edutainment.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Kiplin Primus, and you're listening to The Local Take on WCLK. Part of our mission and our effort to engage with the communities we serve. If you have an issue or a community organization you would like us to feature on The Local Take, you can leave a voicemail on the WCLK Community Engagement Line at 404-880-6211. Or you can email me at kiplinprimus@gmail.com. This morning, I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Ed Powers, the CEO of Hope Atlanta. Ed Powers, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Tell our listeners exactly what is Hope Atlanta.
Well, Hope Atlanta has been around in Atlanta since 1900. We were formed by the Atlanta Women's Missionary Association in 1900 to place a matron at the train station, because at that time, the city of Atlanta was expanding exponentially. Textile mills, other mills were coming into town, and there was an influx of young men and women from surrounding rural Georgia into the big city looking for work. And so the nice ladies at the Women's Christian Missionary Association wanted to ensure that these newcomers were kept out of the nefarious clutches of boarding house owners. And so that's what
ne'er-do-wells.
Absolutely. So that's what happened. We were formed to help people who were new to town make sure they got to be where they needed to go. So subsequently, we changed from the Atlanta Women's Missionary Association and became a member of the Traveler's Aid movement. And so we became Traveler's Aid of Metropolitan Atlanta. About 5 years ago, we decided that since the name Traveler's Aid didn't necessarily equate with the work that we do in the community, which is working with homeless folks, that we would change to Hope Atlanta. And Hope stands for, the H is for housing, the O is for outreach, the P is for prevention, and the E is for emergency assistance. And so now we're now Hope Atlanta.
What do you want our listeners to know about Hope Atlanta? Because even though I vaguely am familiar with Traveler's Aid, I wasn't really sure how that translated to Hope Atlanta. So what do you want our listeners to know about Hope Atlanta that they might not realize?
Great question, because it's something that we as an organization have to deal with all the time. To be perfectly honest, for the last 25 or 30 years in this city, we were under the radar. And so the folks who knew the most about us were the folks who needed our assistance. What we have tried to do over the last 23 years that I've been in my job is to bring our organization back into the public's consciousness. And so that's what we're about. And that's why I'm here today, to help spread the word. We are a social service agency. We have, over the last 23 years, created a continuum of services under one roof so that an individual or a family who is homeless can come into any of our offices, and we are able to match the services that we provide with the specific needs of the homeless person. So you may have lost your job because nothing that you had done, but you lost your job. That creates a snowball effect. Next thing you know, you're not be able to make your car payments, you're not able to pay your apartment rent, and so you have become homeless. The interesting thing is that, Kimlin, is that if you took the totality of the homeless population in the city of Atlanta, 80% of those individuals are people for whom homelessness is not a regular theme in their lives. They are victims of happenstance. 20%, the remaining 20%, unfortunately, are those homeless individuals who are both mentally ill and probably have a substance abuse problem as well. So my juggling act is the fact that, in terms of resources, if you take the whole pool of resources, about 70% of the total resources go toward assisting that 20% mentally ill, addicted population. So I'm helping people who day to day are able to get a job, to get income, to live on their own, and they don't require a whole lot of effort or investment to get back on track. And so our juggling act is being able to both work with the chronically homeless, who are those folks I've referred to, the 20%, as well as those who are episodically homeless.
When you talk about the episodically homeless, and to me that kind of ties in with Traveler's Aid, but you're saying it's happenstance. What is the demographic of those folks who fall into that episodic homelessness? What is it about that population that our listeners probably would not have guessed or would not have known?
You know, the interesting thing about homelessness in general, one thing, is people say, well, you know, how come we don't get more people talking about the trials and tribulations of being homeless? And the fact is that if you are homeless in Atlanta today, 5 years from now, you're not going to look back fondly on this period of your life. You want to put that in the rearview mirror and get on. And so that's why we're very pleased that, for instance, the gentleman that'll be on the show later is not only a former client, he's now a board member, and he is very willing to tell his story. So it helps us to be able to have individuals who have gone through our process and the process of getting back on their feet to be able to help us get the word out on the effectiveness of the work that we do.
Well, that sounds promising and hopeful that you not only have helped someone through this episodic, you know, challenge or crisis, but that you all have also made such an impact that that person wants to, you know, support exactly what it is that you're doing.
Absolutely. Folks who want to give back are our best way of being able to get our story out to the community.
You mentioned the process. What is the process when someone finds themselves in crisis or finds themselves in need? How would they go about receiving services from Hope Atlanta?
We have every day we have 12 offices in 6 counties. And so we're a little bit different from most homeless service providers in that we are truly we truly have a regional focus. And so what that means is you don't have to get on the bus or the train to come downtown to see us. You can get all of the services that the agency provides in any of those locations. So by showing up at the door, by engaging with a staff member, a caseworker, what we'll do is, again, help you to figure out exactly the underlying causes for your homelessness. Many people will present with, I need a place to stay because I lost my wallet. Well, you know, the fact is that you probably got thrown out of your apartment. You probably lost your job. There are probably lots of things that, and so we want to get to the point where we can understand the nature of the situation of each individual, each family, We want to then sit down and make, with along with the individuals, the family members, a plan. Because if we don't help you start planning your way out, you can very easily stumble and lose your way and end up back where you started. So we're all about being able to not only help help create that plan that will hopefully get you to the place that you need to be, but we're also going to ensure that you check back with us on a regular basis. We want progress notes on where you are, because we have a whole arsenal of programs and services that we can provide. And so what is interesting about our agency is that every homeless person's need is different from others. And so we're able to take that person who walks in the door and, with their help, figure out exactly where they are on that continuum and plug them into that specific service and or housing situation, not make them start from the beginning at a shelter or at a motel. You know, if you need to get into an apartment, we'll put you into an apartment. So it's all about being able to assess the need, then being able to have the wherewithal and the program wherewithal to place people where they really need to be.
So when you say answer that specific or specific needs for a client or customize a program for a client, does that mean shoring up maybe job training skills, child care, health care? What are some of those things or some of those services that you all provide so that that episodic homeless person actually reaches stability?
That's a great question. And you've actually answered it for me, because that's exactly what we do. If you're capable and able to work, we will hook you up with an employment agency, or it will help you, will steer you to a way to become employed. Likewise, if you are able to qualify for Social Security or any other sort of income stream, we'll work with you to apply and to check up and do all the things you need to do. Healthcare, we're more than happy to steer people to where they need to go to get the help that they need. So, you know, I'm not a social worker, and bless my staff, because they work miracles every day. I couldn't do that. But dedicated individuals working with individuals in crisis can make for some wonderful outcomes.
I love that. Dedicated individuals working with people in crisis can work towards wonderful outcomes. We need more of Hope Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of Hope Atlanta and our needs, I understand that some of the needs of Hope Atlanta are some of those dedicated social workers.
That's correct.
You guys are looking for dedicated mm-hmm. caseworkers.
Always looking for good staff.
And you're also looking for transportation.
Yes. What we have are two aging and sad, unfortunately, looking vans that we've had for more years than I want to admit. And so we have started a fundraising drive to purchase two new vans that'll help us, again, as part of that ability to get people to where they need to be and get them what they need. We need to take folks to an appointment. We need to take folks to job training. We need to be able to take folks to where they need to be. And so, yes, we are looking to raise the funds to buy a couple of new vans.
That's interesting, because we talked about jobs and childcare, but transportation actually does become a big problem if you can't get to a job.
Absolutely. And you know, when you're tasked as you know, our clients are, with meeting certain goals, you know, inevitably, like you just said, transportation is going to become a part of that solution. And so while we do lean heavily on public transportation in this city, and we're not going to get into that discussion, but we do need to be able to hook people up. That means we do need to be able to get them to where they need to be. Appointments, resume, seminars, things like that.
So for our listeners who want to get involved with Hope Atlanta, there may be a dedicated social worker who's listening. How would they go about reaching out to you all directly, either for job opportunities or to donate or to support in some other way?
The easiest way is to simply go to our website, which is hopeatlanta.org. And there are myriad tabs that you can click on to donate directly, to volunteer, to find out more information about the breadth of the programming that we're able to offer to homeless folks in this community.
Ed Powers, I want to thank you so much for coming and sharing this great information with our listeners today about Hope Atlanta. Thank you.
Kimlin, my pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you so much. We're now joined by Mr. Chokel, an actual recipient of Hope Atlanta Services. Welcome.
Yes, thank you very much.
Could you tell our listeners how you first came in contact with Hope Atlanta?
2015, I was having a real rough time financially with job loss, and I also had a drinking problem, and it just led to another eviction. And just started coming to Hope Atlanta for their services. I was in a couple center on Peachtree Street, and there was a gentleman named Mr. Pender. Mr. Pender worked for Hope Atlanta, and he referred me to the organization. And I went down there the following day, went to intake, and I was assigned a case manager. And they told me all the documents that I needed to go ahead and get the process started with getting back on my feet. And I followed the process, which it took about a month. But with a case manager, you're also also assigned a housing manager. And they take you around, and you go find either an apartment or a home that you like, that suits your needs, and that's affordable for you. And Hope Atlanta stepped in by, they paid the first month's rent, and also took care of all the utilities, the deposits for those, for us to move in.
So you had been evicted. You got involved with Hope Atlanta. How long was it before you were able to find new housing for yourself?
To be honest with you, the legwork took about a month. Actual finding a house, it took less than, it took me about 3 weeks. I think I left the one program April 30th, and by May 21st, I had signed the lease for my house of 2015.
Now, Chokel.
Yes.
What was it like for you, number one, to go and ask for help? And once you received help, how did that lead to your stability?
I was a homeless vet with a family. I was in need of assistance. I think I just felt, you know, downtrodden by letting my family down. But I went ahead and I got the help that I needed. And Hope Atlanta stepped in a big way. And once I got my footing, within that same time frame of me getting my house, I also got a job at Dennis Taylor and Company. And I've been there since 2015, and I've been there just as long as I've had my house. And since I've been on my feet, it's been a wonderful ride to the top. I do several things on the side as well, and I've just grown, and I've been very thankful to be a part of Hope. And I think 6 months later, after I got my house, I talked with Mr. Powers, Mr. Cheddar, who's our chairman, and they asked me to be on the board as a formal client. So when we have our board meetings, I'm able to go to those and, you know, give input as needed.
This sounds like a wonderful program. Do you know what you would have done if this had not been available to you?
I really don't. The options at that time were slim. There are some other programs out there, but Hope stepped up to the plate. They hit a home run. And in this last year, I've seen the organization grow from, you know, just offering the travel assistance to it's grown vast. They come in to really take the place of United Way, that's like that was there. And I see it only getting bigger from this point.
So for some of our listeners, and they hear that you're a veteran, aren't there already services in place for veterans? How did Hope make that difference for you?
There are other programs for veterans. One is the VASH program, which is Veterans Assistance for Stable Housing. And the one that's in place for Hope Atlanta is SSBF, which is Supportive Services for Veterans and their Families. And at this time, those two don't have the same criteria. One falls under HUD, and SSBF, the funding is for that in itself is very big. And if there are veterans out there that are listening to this that need assistance with their family to getting back on their feet, there's no reason to feel hopeless. You can go to the establishment and talk to somebody and get the process started. In a lot of cases, if SSBF isn't for them, you know, it could roll over into VASH, but VASH you know, you have to get on the waiting list and see when it's open to get the assistance.
So Hope was able to get rid of the complexity and the confusion in order for you to get service from programs that already existed.
That's very true. I almost felt when I had went in and talked to my case manager was Miss Marita Elliott, and I literally felt like I was the only one there, and I was getting the assistance. That's not the case, but I was made to feel special. I was, you know, I was embraced. I was walked through all the steps. Everything was clearly defined on what I needed to do, what I needed to accomplish, the paperwork that was in need, and we checked all the marks, and the process was, you know, for us, it was easy. We were willing to go do the legwork, and it happened pretty quick for us.
I really think that's wonderful, because when governments and communities put these programs in place, they definitely want people, you know, to be able to take advantage of them. And it's unfortunate that sometimes people are dismayed or don't get the full benefits that are being offered because they can't do, you know, they don't know how to get the paperwork done.
And that's true. And what I found out in these last 2 years, a lot of the programs that are able to help people, it's like a silent network almost. It's not, you know, largely advertised. It's really about who you know, who referred you. Because honestly, Hope Atlanta, it was located downtown on Marietta Street, and I had never seen the building before, never paid attention to it, never knew where it was. And they moved to a new location, and it's on right there on Peachtree Street. And it's something that if people need the assistance, because they help several different populations in Atlanta. And what they're doing is it's getting bigger and bigger every year. And we're taking on a lot more responsibility, dealing with the homeless population, dealing with the veterans. Veterans in them in themselves have a lot of other issues coming from the service, going back to civilian life, and sometimes that's a hard transition.
So, Chokel, what is it like for you now, a former client who's actually sitting on the board, where your voice even carries some weight? What has that transition been like for you?
At first, it was a little funny feeling. To be up there with the higher ups, and a lot of people on the board, you know, they have you know, professional lives. They're doctors, they're lawyers, they're part of real estate groups, and just to sit there and see the inner cogs of an organization, I was really in awe of what goes on. But when I say the level of care and attention to the cases that are going on and the funding that's needed for this, It's really just amazing. And me personally, it makes me happy. I'm very proud to be part of Hope Atlanta. It's done so much for my family, my family stability, from where I'm at. If I needed anything, I mean, they're always a phone call away. And I still talk to my case manager even today, either through email or if we have a function that we're able to go to and attend together. You know, I'm definitely, you know, saying hi to her and just thanking her. Just like it was yesterday.
Well, Chokel, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to share your story with our listeners about how Hope Atlanta provided you with the stability that you needed when you needed it. And I just thank you for being willing to share that with our listeners. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, ma'am.
I appreciate it. You take care. Have a good year,
okay.
Chokel.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to The Local Take on WCLK this morning. Special thanks to our guests for taking their time to speak with us. You can find many of these interviews posted online for on-demand listening at WCLK.com. If you want to recommend a community leader or nonprofit organization you would like to see featured on The Local Take, you can leave a voicemail on the WCLK Community Engagement Line at 404-880-6211, or you can email me at kiplinprimus@gmail.com. Good morning.